Amen. Be in John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. You found your place in God's Word, if you would stand out of the honor of the reading of God's Word. John chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 37. Jesus is speaking here, and he says this: I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus says to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You did the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, he that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we cannot hear unless your Spirit opens our ears. We cannot see unless your Spirit opens our eyes. Lord, my words have no power but the power of your Spirit. Father, I would ask that you would open our eyes today, that each person here would see the true state of their soul. That this would be a source of great comfort to your children. An increase of their knowledge and also how to deal with their loved ones that do not know you. And for those that do not know you, I would ask that their eyes would be opened, that they might see the true state of their soul. That you would awaken them and call them to Christ and give them new life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus has been having this back and forth interaction with the Pharisees, and they've been going back and forth and back and forth. And in his last thing, what we looked at last week, he spoke about freedom from slavery to sin, how if we know the truth, who is Jesus Christ, he will set us free and give us victory over our sins. But in their exchange, they mentioned that they were Abraham's seed. And that's the idea now that Jesus is going to address. This idea of being Abraham's seed is God had made a promise to Abraham that his descendants would be blessed. Now, we read in Galatians and Romans, this idea is expanded to show, as it says in Romans, not all Israel are Israel. That it's not about physical, biological, genetic descent. It's not about your genealogy. But all those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It is about those who are born again through Jesus Christ, through faith in his name. So when he speaks of the descendants being blessed, the seed being blessed, it's all those, according to Galatians, who are in Christ, not all those who have a genealogy that traces back to Abraham. But if you remember, when Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus, we talked about this. The Jews believed they were born right with God because they were Abraham's descendants. And that this special blessing of God rested not on those who repented of their sins and believed in God and believed in Jesus Christ and obeyed Christ, but the blessing was passed on genetically from Abraham. so that if you were a purebred Jew, you were right with God. If you were a half-breed Samaritan, God hated you and you're on your way to hell. And the only, so if you were born a Jew, you could, and you were right with God. And this is where you read, Paul will talk about the uselessness of genealogies, because the Jews would memorize their genealogy so that they could trace back and prove they were right with God because they were Abraham's descendant. And so they knew which tribe they came from, and they could trace all their genealogy back. That's why when they say they're Abraham's seed, what they're saying is, Jesus, this whole discussion's worthless. We're right with God because we're Jews. Now, before we look at this passage of Scripture, let's also bear in mind and remember that this same lie still exists today. How many have ever heard someone say, my granddaddy was a preacher, was a deacon. My father built that church. My great-grandfather donated the property for that church. I and my family has been in that church for generations. My family has been this. My family has been that. My parents did this. My parents served in Sunday school and taught the kids class. And my family has been in that church for generations. Who cares? Salvation is not biological. It is not genetic. And that is the issue that Jesus is going to address head on. Verse 37, I know you are Abraham's seed. Jesus says, I know. I know who your granddaddy is. I know who your grandparents are. I know that you are Jews. I know that you are the physical descendants of Abraham. But you seek to kill me. Here are people saying, we're right with God because we're Abraham's kids. Now let's kill God's kid. Stop for a minute and think about this. People who say they're right with God yet want to kill God. That doesn't add up. He goes on. And he says, because my word has no place in you. What Jesus is going to do through this passage of Scripture is he is going to give us a litmus test. He's going to give you a little thermometer you can stick in your mouth and pull out to see whether you're a child of God or a child of Satan. And one of the first marks of a child of Satan is God's word has no place in them. In other words, they are going to do what they are going to do, and it doesn't matter what God has to say. And they have all kinds of spiritual reasons, just like the Jews, for why they don't have to obey God's word and why they can ignore God's word. But the truth be told, if you were to cut them open and pull out the part of them that ticks, you wouldn't find God's word anywhere in them. The only way they would ever use God's word is a bully club to get their way. They have no concern as to what God is pleased with, what God has taught, what Jesus Christ has taught, His teachings. None of that matters. How many of you have ever encountered somebody and you showed them where the Word of God very clearly said they're lost, and they say, well, I'm saved. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I just know it. God told me. Well, it's kind of funny. What God wrote down said you're not. I remember talking with a man. He talked about how he got physically pushed down the aisle. And that's how he knew he was a Christian. I said, how do you know it wasn't Satan pushing you? And he said, I don't know. Never thought of that. That you might want to. Don't think Satan's never pushed someone? Well, the spirit! You don't think there's demonic spirits? The way you can tell a child of Satan and a child of God is a child of Satan does not follow the Word of God. They may read it. They may study it. But they will not obey it. If you were to go and see, why do you do what you do? The answer will never be because God's word in this place says it. You'll hear, because we've always done it that way. Because everyone else does it that way. Because the churches do that way. Because my parents did it that way. I've never been in a church that did it that way. Because that's just the way it is. Because that's what we do in our culture. Because that's right. Why is it right? Well, because it is. Everybody knows it. Well, everyone except God, who determines what's right and wrong. You see, they are lost. And how do they know? Because they don't care what God has to say. They're going to do what they want to do, and it does not matter what God says in His Word. Notice what He says next. I speak that which I've seen with my Father. When you reject the teachings of Jesus Christ, you reject God the Father, because Jesus is only mimicking and parroting and repeating what God told him to say. You cannot look at the teachings of Jesus and say that one doesn't count. You can't. Because Jesus is God's Son. You can't look at a verse of Scripture and say God doesn't mean that. You can't look at a verse of Scripture and say, well, I don't want to follow that, or I disagree with that, or maybe there's another interpretation of it. You have to deal with it. They refuse. They reject what God's Word says. And so he concludes in verse 38, you do what you've seen with your Father. In other words, someone else is directing your life, and it's not God. It's your Father. Now, in verse 39, they said, maybe we misunderstood you. Abraham is our father? No. Well, Jesus acknowledged that. He acknowledged that Abraham was their physical father, but man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. We look at the genetic, we look at the physical, God looks at the spiritual, at the very nature of the person within. He doesn't look at the outside, he looks at the soul. And we've taken it completely backwards. And we've done it the exact opposite, which is that man looks at the outward appearance. You know, I know it really looks like I'm lost, but God knows my heart and I'm really saved. That's not what that passage is teaching. It's teaching the exact opposite. That even though you go to church and you dress nice and you act like a Christian, God really knows the state of your heart. You see, they are concerned with the outward. They're concerned with the robes. They're concerned with the phylacteries. They're concerned with titles. They're concerned with positions and places. That's what they're concerned with. But they're ignoring the very obvious signs that there is something wrong within their soul. So Jesus begins in verse 39 again. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. How many of you ever heard, like father, like son? He is his father's child. How many of you have ever heard that? How many of you have ever seen that? How many of you have ever seen somebody and you go, I know where he got that. He got it from his dad. How many of y'all have ever seen an adopted child that acts just like their parents? Why? Because they pick up and they mimic their father. This is not speaking of biology. This is speaking of the spiritual nature within. Because if they were truly of the same nature as Abraham, they would do what Abraham did, which is God says, Abraham, sacrifice your son, your only son whom you love, on the mountain I will show you. And Abraham rose up early, saddled his donkey, and left. Where did God's word have a place in his life? God spoke. Abraham said, yes, sir. God speaks to them and they completely ignore it. He goes on and says, now you seek to kill me. A man which has told you the truth, which I've heard of God, this did not Abraham. He says, you are nothing like Abraham. God speaks to Abraham and asks him to sacrifice his son, and he does it. I come and tell you to go make things right with your brother, and you don't. Let me ask you, which is harder? To sacrifice your son or go apologize? Which is harder? To sacrifice your son or go tell the truth? To sacrifice your son or repent of sin? Which is harder? Jesus' teachings have not been on the level of, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. But Abraham was told once by God, and that's all he needed to hear. Because the word of God abided in him. He obeyed it. They hear God's word and refuse to listen. Instead, their response is they hate the messenger and they want to kill the messenger. Again, showing a mark of the child of Satan. They do not live according to God the Father. They do not live according to his nature, according to his word. So verse 41, he says, you do the deeds of your father, like son. Look at the way you live your life. You don't look anything like Abraham. Your life does not match his. You don't look anything like Abraham, but your life does remind me of your real father. So in verse 41, they say, we're not born of fornication. In other words, we're not like the half-breed Jews. We know for certain that we're not illegitimate children and that our mom was messing around and she got pregnant from one of those horrible pagan people. No, both of our parents are Jews. We know our genealogy. We are Jews, 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 Jews. We're right with God, right with God, right with God. But, to go even further, they say, in addition to that, we have one Father, even God. You know, Christmas time, how many of you ever heard the song on the radio? I think it's Let There Be Peace on Earth. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. How many of y'all know that's horrible theology? It's horrid. God is not everyone's Father. They say, well, you know what? God's our Father. And Jesus is getting ready to knock that completely out of the park. They say, I'm God's child. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. And Jesus is getting ready to say, no, they're not. So look what he says. Verse 42. If God were your Father, if you were a child of God, you would love me. If you were God's child, you would love God's Son. That's not very hard. Okay? I am my Father's child, and I happen to love my Father's children because I happen to be one of them. If you love God, you're going to love His children. Isn't this what it teaches in 1 John? If you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. That's what you are. Here, it's not just their brother. They hate God Himself. But they want to say they love God and they're His children. Notice what he says. I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. This is the parable that Jesus tells of the man who sends his son saying, surely they'll reverence my son. And they say, this is the heir. Let's kill him and take the inheritance and it'll be ours. Jesus says, I am God Himself. I am the Son of God. I have been sent from God directly to you. And you hate me, who is God in the flesh, while you supposedly love God and God's your Father? No. Why do you not understand my speech? I don't know if you've noticed this in John 8. It's almost like frustrating to read. Because it's like Jesus is talking to a brick. And he just keeps repeating himself over and over and over and over again. And they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They've been sitting in the pew for 20 years and they go, why are we doing this again? That's the attitude here. They just don't get it. Why? Why do they not understand? Because they can't hear His words. They refuse to hear. They cannot hear what He has to say. So in verse 44, He says, you are of your father, the devil. You are children of Satan. That's a very harsh accusation. But Jesus proves that they are children of Satan by His next expression. The lust or the desires of your father you will do. How do you know whether you're a child of God or a child of Satan? If you're a child of God, you do God's will. If you're a child of Satan, you do Satan's will. That's not very hard to understand, by the way. Okay? If you love somebody, you try to do what they want. You know, I mean, if you love your wife and she loves red roses, you buy her red roses, not yellow ones. Okay? That's just smart. If you love somebody and they hate Brussels sprouts, you don't make them Brussels sprouts. Okay? You make them what they like. If you love someone, you want to fulfill their desires. And he's saying, look at what you desire. Look at what you want. Look at what you're pleading for. Look at whose desires you are seeking to carry out. It is not God's will. It is Satan's will. It is not God's desires. It's Satan's desires. It's not God's wishes. It's Satan's wishes, showing that you're a child of the devil. Notice what he says next. He was a murderer from the beginning. What is Satan's desire? It is hatred. It is bigotry. It is slander. He is a hateful individual who hates God, hates his son, hates God's children, hates God's church, and wants to do nothing but to divide and destroy and devour God's sheep. That is what Satan desires to do. Do you love God's people? Do you love his church? Do you desire to see his church doing well? Or do you just seek to devour, to slander, to divide, to tear apart, to trash God's sheep? Are you a child of Satan or a child of God? Notice what he says next. Abode not in the truth. Now, if we remember what we looked at last week, who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Everything God says is true. So let me ask you this. If you reject God, what do you reject? The truth. So if Satan has rejected God, what did Satan reject? The truth. So that means everything Satan does is not founded upon truth. What is it founded upon? Something other than truth. It's based upon feelings. It's based upon emotions. It's based upon lies. It's based upon mirages, illusions. It's based upon anything but God's word. You can see all this comes together. What has Jesus just said? God's word doesn't abide in them. They don't listen to God's word. They don't care about God's word. Why? Because they don't care about God's desires. They're going to do Satan's desires. Notice what he says next. Because there's no truth in him. How can you reject the truth and have the truth? You can't. You cannot reject Jesus Christ, reject God the Father, reject the word, and be right. It's impossible. This is what he's speaking of here with Satan. He says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. All lies come from Satan. He is the father of all lies. That means someone who lies is a child of Satan. That's what it means. To lie shows that you are doing the wishes and desires of your father, the devil. Now, I want to stop and I want to give you an understanding of what is being said here before we finish everything out. Because this is so true today. If you were to go to your average Baptist church, everyone present would say, I'm a child of God. Every person present would say, I'm God's child. Okay, well, open your mouth and let's put in the thermometer and let's see if that's true. If you're God's child, why do you have to fear an examination? The righteous are as bold as a lion, Proverbs tells us. But the sinner runs from everything. Why? Because they can't handle examination. They can't handle someone looking at them. Why? Because if they know if people keep looking, they will find out all the lies and sin. Zach Poonen, a preacher from India, was preaching one time, and this is what he said, and this fits this passage of Scripture perfectly. He said, if you look at the titles of Jesus Christ and the title of Satan, you'll notice something. Jesus Christ is called the advocate for the brethren. In other words, he is the defense lawyer for the brethren. And he is constantly praying and interceding for his bride. You look in Ephesians 5, Jesus comes to his bride with the word of God to wash his bride, to make her pure, to make her holy. When Jesus' bride falls into sin, Jesus comes, stands before his bride, before his father, and dies on behalf of his bride to restore her, to give her life. He gives his life for his bride. That is what Jesus does, and he is constantly praying for us and advocating before the Father on our behalf. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Go read the beginning of the book of Job. And no matter how good God's children are, Satan has to have a reason why they're not. And he's always there looking for some crack in the saints' armor that he can pry into and exploit to the saints' demise. He is always accusing God's children. He is the accuser of the brethren because he is filled with bitterness and hatred. And if he can get an accusation in that's a lie, he will do it because he's the father of lies. So let me ask you this question. Are you an accuser of the brethren or an advocate for the brethren? Which one are you? When you see your brother fall into sin, what do you do? Do you seek to restore him? Do you go to him with the word of God, to wash him with the water of the word, and to bring him out of his sin? Do you go just as Jesus taught, to seek out the sheep that's gone astray, that to see your brother go, that you go to them to see them restored? Are you there trying to defend them, trying to restore them, trying to protect them, try to bring them out of their sin? Or did you just get something to one-up you in everybody else's eyes when you see them sin? Therein is seen the children of God and the children of the devil. Are you constantly looking for the teacher, the preacher, the deacon, the elder to make one misstep so you can exploit it for your own advantage? You're a child of Satan. Are you willing to watch God's sheep go astray and never once seek to have them brought to repentance? You're a child of Satan. You're filled with hatred and slander, gossip. You want people gone and out of your life so you can have your way. You're a child of Satan. Jesus Christ would rather die than disobey God's will. Children of Satan would rather die than not get their way. Which are you? Are you a child of Satan or a child of God? There is no in between. Whose will are you fulfilling? Whose desires are you following? I don't want to show you this because the reason we read in Ephesians this morning is because this is the teaching throughout all of Scripture. This is all the way through. It's not about church attendance. It's not about words that come out of your mouth. It's not about what you say. It's about who you are, whose desires you fulfill, whether you are filled with love or hatred, truth or slander, whether you are filled with the Word of God or your own wishes and desires. What did it teach in Ephesians 2? That we are born children of wrath. We are by nature sinners. And what does it teach? What is the mark of this person who is not born again? He walks according to the course of this world. He lives like everyone else. And no, that's not saying if you go to church, you get out of it. It's saying what you do on Friday, what you do on Monday, the way you are at work, the way you are with your finances, the way you interact with other people, how you talk on the phone, how you live your life. Is there any difference between you and Joe Pagan down the road? Well, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You walk according to the course of this world. You're lost. You can't walk on the broad way and the narrow way at the same time. And you can keep trying to convince yourself of that, and all you'll do is go crazy. You can't believe truth and a lie at the same time. What was the other mark in Ephesians? You walk according to the course of the prince of the power of the air. In other words, you do the desires of Satan. How can you call him Lord and don't do what he commands you to do? How can you say, Jesus is my Savior, yet live in the sin that he supposedly saved you from? How can you say, he's my Lord, but I won't do what he says? He is my master, but I won't obey him. No, you obey your master. I want you to get this very clear this morning. Every decision you make in your life, you are obeying your master and you are worshiping your God. Everything you do, you are obeying your master and you're worshiping your God. And what you do shows who your master is and who your God is. Do you walk according to the prince of the power of the air? Do you follow the desires of Satan to accuse, to gossip, to slander, to divide, to destroy, to tear down? Or are you to follow the desires of Jesus Christ to seek out, to build, to restore, to bring to repentance, to purify, to cleanse? You see, that shows who you are. Are you someone who delights in the truth? Or would you rather live a lie? You know, one of the mark of a Christian is what you see is what you get. Why? Because Christians are honest about their failures. If we confess our sins, what is confession? to be honest and say what you've done. You know what? Lost people don't. Christian people make confessions. Lost people make excuses. Children of Satan, children of God. Notice in verse 45, he says, I tell you the truth, and you don't believe me. Which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? I have one question for you. Is what Jesus just said the truth, yes or no? Show me his error. Show me where he's not logical. Show me where he's wrong. Show me how he has got it wrong. Because you're nailed to the wall, one way or the other. Either he has pegged you as a child of God, or he's pegged you as a child of Satan. There is no middle ground. And you know what? People who are pegged as children of Satan, you know what? They want a way out of it. You know, he just doesn't understand the way things are. Show me where he's wrong. Jesus stands before them and says, let me have it. Let me have it. Show me right now. And I would challenge you right now in front of all these people, stand up and show me where I'm wrong. You have an open floor. Show me where this is wrong. You can't. Jesus has you pegged to the wall. And notice what he says. He that is of God's word hears God's word. There are some here who will prove they are children of Satan because they will not stand up and oppose this, but they won't believe him. They will not argue with Scripture, they just won't obey it. They won't argue and show why people are wrong from the Word of God. No, we'll just reject it wholesale. Notice what he says next. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Nail in the coffin. Nail in the coffin. The reason you won't debate it is you're a child of Satan. It is what it is. You see, Jesus presents truth and leaves it there. Jesus is not like somebody who comes and tells you hard things and they kind of walk it back. Have you ever had somebody do that? Well, you know, I think you're wrong, but I'm not really saying that you're wrong. And you know, I just think maybe we should kind of, I don't know. No, Jesus says, there it is. Deal with it. It's truth. Take it or leave it. You are what you are. It's time to acknowledge it. If you're lost, the only way you'll ever be saved is to acknowledge you're lost. If you're in sin, the only way you'll ever be saved is to acknowledge you're in sin. Jesus only helps sinners that are lost. To live a lie does not help you or anyone. All it does is prove you're a child of Satan. So let me ask you one simple question. Based upon the teachings of God Himself, not your whim, not your emotions, not your feelings, because all that proves is you're a child of Satan. Are you a child of God? Do you see a desire to do God's will? Do you see things changing in your life because you saw them in the Word of God and you're going to obey Jesus Christ no matter the cost? Do you see yourself wanting to acknowledge the truth no matter how much it hurts? That you see yourself wanting to love and see others loved and restored? Are you a child of God? Or are you a child of Satan? I really don't care who your parents were. And let me close with this. That's the amazing thing. It doesn't matter what family you came from. Let me please hear me. If your genealogy doesn't matter, that means your genealogy doesn't matter. Who cares if you come from a dysfunctional family? Who cares if your family's from the wrong side of the tracks? Who cares if your dad's a deadbeat and incarcerated? Who cares if your mom's a prostitute? Who cares? It's not what you are born as. You must be born again. It doesn't matter what you come from. What matters is what Jesus Christ can remake you. That is what matters. And if you are a child of Satan this morning, Jesus Christ came to adopt you into His family and make you a child of God. That's the rest of Ephesians 2. You hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. For by grace you have been saved. But God, who is rich in mercy. If you are a child of Satan this morning, you can be born again. You can. It begins with acknowledging the truth, confessing your sin, and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again to give you a new nature, a new life, a life like unto Himself, with new desires and a new nature, a nature that is indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. And all of a sudden you will begin to see, like Father, like Son, that you will begin to want what God wants, desire what God desires, do what God would have you to do, and all of a sudden you're going to begin to see your life change, and people are going to say, why don't you do this anymore? And you're going to say, well, because I was reading in my Bible, and I read where God said, and you know what's going to happen? The Word of God is going to abide in you. You're going to hear the Word of God, and you're going to obey it. That is the mark of someone who's born again. So again, I ask you, are you a child of God or a child of Satan? It's a yes or no question. It's simple. There is no middle ground. If you're supposedly a child of God, how come you don't pass any of the tests? If you're a child of Satan, there's hope for you. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, to break the bondage of your slavery, to break you free from your genealogy, to break you free from your dysfunctional family where Satan's your father, and rose again from the dead to give you a new nature and a new life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Amen.